A reading from the book of Exodus. Early in the morning, Moses went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, taking along the two stone tablets. Having come down in a cloud, the Lord stood with Moses there and proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him and cried out, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship. Then he said, if I find favor with you, O Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our wickedness and sins, and receive us as your own. The word of the Lord.
Glory and praise forevermore.
Glory and praise forevermore.
Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. And blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages.
Glory and praise forevermore.
Blessed are you in the temple of your holy glory, praiseworthy and glorious above all forever.
Glory and praise forevermore.
Blessed are you on the throne of your kingdom, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Glory and praise forevermore.
Blessed are you who look into the depths from your throne upon the cherubim, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever.
Glory and praise forevermore.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the holy ones greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to God who is, who was, and who is to come.
Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. As we embrace and dive anew into this greatest of all the solemnities, the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity, because it is the essence of who God is, the revelation, God's self-revelation to us as to his person. And this is why it is considered the central mystery of the entire Christian faith. It would do us well to attend to the Word of God and what is it presenting us with? Because if we approach the mystery of the Trinity trying to deal with it theologically in discussion, we can get all up into this abstract realm, and it's like at the end of it all, we say, well, what's the difference? What is its application to my life? What difference will it make in the way I experience myself in relationship to others in this creation going forward? And so the Word of God today is very rich in relating to us just the reality of who God is in himself, and what that means in terms of his action, and that in essence affects how we understand who we are and what we are called to do. The book of Exodus presents us with that section in which Moses has been with the people, and this is at the Mount Sinai. He has already ascended the mountain, gotten the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, but he comes down from the mountain a bit disturbed because the people have given themselves over to idolatry, worshiping a golden calf. It was a complete debacle to the point that Moses angered so much he threw the tablets down, destroying them. So what we presented with today is his second ascension up the mount. He goes up there, heartbroken, pleading with God that he journey with them. He says, these people are stiff-necked. I can't contend with them. You have to be with us, Lord. But in that sharing, he expresses something that I hope all of us have a desire for. He wants to see God's face. As one friend to another, he wants to see the face of God. Well, God discloses why that is not going to be possible for him or any of us to see him as he truly is in this present condition. However, he acquiesces and he kind of makes a compromise. He says, I'm going to show you, I will pass by. He hides, he places Moses in the cleft of the mountain, and he passes by, and he allows Moses to see his back. And as God is passing by, he reveals his name to Moses. The Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity. This is so significant because this reading has been chosen for us to reveal the nature of God. In disclosing his name, he gives Moses his identity. Once we can see a face or have a sense of what this person, the personhood of God, then we gain insight as to how this person operates, how they behave, what types of actions can we expect. And what are we shown today? What are we given? First of all, God is mercy. God is truth. God is about forgiveness. And probably more than anything else, God is faithful to his covenants, which is an exchange of persons. And this is where we see it over and over again, this pattern. The people of God going astray and time again, God not giving up on them, willing to take them back once they experience the consequences of the infidelity, whatever it might have been. They repent, God receives them with mercy and reestablishes them. And this pattern goes on and on. Moses contended with this for some time. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness of the desert of Sinai. And yet and still, Moses did not lose his sense of regard for God, the intimate relationship he had with God. Enabled him to understand this God in whom he believed, albeit his experience was oftentimes characterized by great struggle and anguish. He kept God first and foremost at the center of everything he was doing in this work, this mission of liberating God's people from the place of bondage. And we look at Paul, who was the great terrorist of the early church, of the mystical body of Christ. And it wasn't until he had the experience on the road to Damascus, a man of letters, he was formed under one of the leading rabbis of the time, Gamaliel. He was very erudite and acumen with the law of God, practicing the law, Pharisee of Pharisees, he described himself. And it would be on the road to Damascus that many say he was literally knocked off his horse. Now, whether or not he was traveling on a horse, we don't know. But we can say figuratively, he definitely was knocked off of his horse when he found himself totally surrounded in the presence of a blinding light of a supernatural origin and quality. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, sir? I am Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting. And then his eyes were not permitted to see. He was blinded physically, naturally, but interiorly he was being transformed to be the one who would go and suffer greatly. He too would have great struggle and anguish in what he has come to know and believe. All of that learning, all of that knowledge was now fine-tuned. It has been enlightened by the Spirit of the Lord as he was on that road, and that was used by Paul, God using Paul as this instrument to go and establish this gospel to the whole world. Yes, to the Jews, but now to the Gentiles, the whole world. And the gospels relate us to show us Jesus in his relationship to the Father. He is the one, the eternal Word of God, taking upon himself a human nature in the fullness of time. So everything from the time of Moses, even we can go even further back to Abraham, who was given the child of the promise, Isaac. Remember how that went. And God asking him to offer up his son to him, his only son. Abraham was all in, albeit it wasn't easy. And you can imagine the conversation as he and his son were ascending the mount for the sacrifice to be offered. And the son, Isaac, asked, Father, I have the wood. You have the knife and the fire. Where's the lamb? God will provide. And sure enough, everything was set. He had his son on the altar. He had his hand raised and about, do no more. Stop right there. God now knows how dedicated you are. And he looked off into the distance, and there was the ram caught in the thicket. His horns were caught in the thicket. And that would be the substitute that God would allow to appease his plan.
a foreshadowing, but we know that when it ultimately came down to it, in the fullness of time, as God would come among us, as we hear Moses appealing today in the first reading, come and dwell with us, be with us. God has dwelt with us. In the beginning, signs and wonders, external signs and wonders. But in the fullness of time, he would literally come among us as one appearing just like us. And St. Paul tells us that Jesus, albeit equal to God in essence, in divinity, didn't see his equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather what? He emptied himself out, taking the form, the appearance of a slave. And there, today's gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. The most popular and probably the most well-known of all verses and chapters of the scripture, John 3:16. It's not uncommon to see it in the backstop. Somebody raises up a placard, John 3:16. And usually the person holding the placard has a big smile on their face. And rightly so. Because in discovering the identity of God, this God who is a God of mercy, slow to anger, rich in compassion, abiding in fidelity with his people, especially in covenant relationship, he does not leave us alone. And he doesn't cease to pursue us, as love is akin to do. God is love. This is the revelation of Trinity Sunday. God is love. And if God is love, then God is not a solitary being. There must be a lover, there must be a beloved, and there must be that which binds the two, and that is the love between the two. And this is what theologians have presented us with to understand somewhat what is God in himself. From all eternity, God is a communion of persons that share and participate equally in the divine Godhead. So if we ask the question, what is God? God is the divine one. Who is God? He is a trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The same way as if you would ask me, what are you? I'm a human being. Who are you? Kyle, Vince, and Dave. And with that, we begin to have insight. We begin to share. I was sharing at the Vigil Mass yesterday that following this Mass, one of the parents after Mass says, Father, I have to tell you, my little son, I think he's just turning 3 years of age. My little son was saying, he was kind of complaining. He says, me can't see Jesus. Me can't see Jesus today. His vision, he was talking about seeing me. He couldn't see. Somebody was in front of him. He was blocking his little vision. And she said, Father, you can take that as a compliment. I said, I do. But more importantly, I see it as the reality of what that child actually is experiencing. Because remember, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. The little ones, the most innocent of our community, they haven't committed personal sin. They actually see into the realm of the Spirit, of what is really happening in the Mass. We look at each other, you look at me, and say, oh, I don't look at this guy again, I listen to him again. But when we come to understand the communion of love that is at work in every Eucharist, in every gathering of the body of Christ, it is beyond the ability for one to capture it in full. This is why we can never fully comprehend the mystery of who God is in himself. But that doesn't mean we don't contemplate how God is revealing himself to us from all eternity. He reveals himself as love. The nature of love, in essence, is that of action. The gospel doesn't say God thought of the world and gave his only son. It didn't say God felt for the world. He says God so loved the world that he gave. And this is the essence of love. The Father and the Son looking upon each other. in such a way, the love for one another in such a way, they gift themselves to the other totally without reservation. That gifting of the self is the Holy Spirit personified as the third person of the Holy Trinity, which has been poured into our hearts when we were baptized. God adopting us as sons and daughters. Jesus is not a son of God. He is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Consubstantial with the Father, he was not made. He has always been. He is the revealer. He is the one who tells us through, in relationship to Philip at the Last Supper, do you not realize yet, Philip, that when you see me, you see the Father. When you hear me, you hear the Father. This celebration is meant to communicate to us that we have been caught up in this mystery of love. The Catechism captures it in the very first paragraph of the prologue. The Catechism of the Catholic Church states this masterfully. God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life. For this reason, at every time and in every place, God draws close to man. God calls man to seek him, to know him, to love him with all his strength. He calls together all men scattered and divided by sin into the unity of his family, the church. To accomplish this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son as Redeemer and Savior. In his Son and through him, he invites men to become, in the Holy Spirit, his adopted children and thus heirs of his blessed life. Today's feast tells us the truth about who God is. It speaks the truth about who we are and the truth about the world. God is a person who is a communion of love. Three distinct persons, one divine reality. Humanity is desired by God. We're acceptable to God. We're loved by God and capable of loving in return because of the gift of God to us, the Holy Spirit. And third, the world, the truth about the world, it's not our final destination. It's a place of struggle. It's a place in where we contend. We're contending with, namely, first and foremost, ourselves. Those forces that are around us trying to dissuade us from the goal of this blessed life. The world is a battleground. But if we understand and if we are taking hold of this gospel that has come to us, the world is a place in which we can grow and mature in faith, hope, in love, in essence, in the relationship with the one who has loved us and given himself over for us to participate in this wondrous mystery of love. God love you.